committee, President Representative Gruenberg, Hanley, Martin, Miller, Parnell, and Donnelly. And first matter of the committee today is House Bill 104. We've been working on a committee substitute to bring back before the committee. And Mr. Andrews from the NRA is in the audience. Mr. Andrews, you want to come forward and join the committee? And Lori Otto, Mr. Andrews is coming forward. We'll go through the differences in the committee substitute.
Okay, the differences are on page 2, lines 14 and line 18, the words semi-automatic firearm are taken out. Yeah, it's a 3791 version. The words semi-automatic firearm are taken out, and the language or removable rifle magazine capable of containing more than 5 cartridges has been added. And that same change has been made on page 3, line 11 as well. And then on page 3, lines 13 through 17, an exception has been made to the prohibition on felon living in a dwelling where there is, knowing that there is a weapon that the felon's not supposed to have, by saying that unless the person has written authorization to live in the dwelling in which there's the weapon, from a court of competent jurisdiction or the head of the local law enforcement agency. So you can't reside in a dwelling where you know there's a weapon or a rifle magazine unless the court or the local police chief says it's okay for you to live there. Those are the only changes.
Mr. Andrews, you've had a chance to go through the committee substitute?
Mr. Chairman, yes, I have. I've read through the work draft.
Did this address your concerns?
Yes, it does, completely. And we have no objection to this bill as it's not worded.
I just have one concern. It's a technical concern. The way it's written now is it's misconduct in the first degree, for example. If you contain the magazine, if you have, let's say, the magazine, which is about this long, in your pocket, and you don't have the weapon, you could be taking the magazine found to be repaired or something and not have a weapon anywhere around.
But it's illegal for you to own one or possess the magazine.
It's only for felons.
Yeah, it's only for felons.
I see. Okay.
President Martin?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the only question I had to counsel or to any lawyer, page 3, line 10, worried about a person on probation. Sometimes they seem like they get picked up too quick. Do you feel that under those cases, an innocent person, even if they were an ex-felon, is protected here? I'd hate to see them being picked up for God knows what, just because a weapon was concealed and they didn't even know where.
Well, you remember that you required knowing. So they'd have to know about it, so there wouldn't be any innocence involved, there wouldn't be any surprise involved. It clearly would be a defense if they didn't know about it and then go ahead and do it.
And excuse me, Representative Martin, we added that language in this committee specifically to make it clear that you had to know that it was there. So that's the protection that you're looking for, and that change was made in this committee.
And before a probation officer can have that person rearrested or whatever, they better be darn sure that that person knows what they were saying.
Okay. Yeah, and then be that convention.
Thank the chairman of the committee and the staff for working in concert with the NRA because of the confusion that we had before and the concern that we had, and I think that's been met. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I think the public policy goals are being met within those parameters also. It's good. Representative Miller.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know who else you have to testify, but if it's in order to adopt the committee substitute, the proposed 3-7.
Yes, it is. Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing no objection, the committee substitute is adopted.
If there's no objections, I'd like to move CS for 104 of the Judiciary out of committee with individual recommendations.
Without objection, any objections, the motion carries. Thank you very much. Thank you, Rube. Appreciate it. Okay. I guess we'll go on to House Bill 44. Okay, is Representative Ulmer, somebody invite Representative Ulmer to join us? And hi, Representative Ulmer, we're just now taking up House Bill 44, and if you'd like to join us.
It seems like ages since I've been here.
We miss you too.
Well, we were missing you.
Let's see, where shall we begin? Mr. Chairman, House Bill 44 does a number of things. First of all, it changes the domestic violence restraining order law, and it makes it possible for someone to get a domestic violence restraining order even though they're not in a marital relationship. This is sometimes referred to as the date rape relationship, where young people may have a dating relationship, a teenager and perhaps her family may feel very much at risk, and yet is not able to get a domestic violence restraining order because a domestic violence restraining order only pertains to a domestic relationship. So one portion of this legislation deals with that situation in an effort to extend that kind of protection to not only the possible victim but also the victim's family in the dating relationship. Another part of this bill deals with the ability of the court to consider whether or not a victim has either assaulted his or her partner or killed his or her partner, and whether or not that victim has been subjected to domestic violence for a long period of time. It does not create an affirmative defense, it just creates a mitigator. In other words, the sentencing judge can consider that at the time of evaluating what the appropriate sentence might be. Again, it is not specified exactly what difference it would make in the sentence. We don't specify, you know, number of years or whatever. It is just something for the judge to consider and allows him or her to mitigate in that circumstance. Another part of this legislation deals with personal counseling rather than family counseling at the time when the judge is ordering a defendant to participate in counseling. The reason that this change is being proposed is based on experience which has been brought to my attention in these sorts of circumstances where an individual is in a violent environment. Ordering someone to participate in family counseling where both the victim and the abuser are present in the same room at the same time can lead to another violent incident, possibly in the counseling situation, perhaps right after the counseling situation. And so it does not preclude that if the judge thinks it's appropriate, but it changes the law so that that is not required, and instead adds language that that the individual can be required to participate in personal counseling, and particularly counseling that deals with handling one's aggression in a more positive manner. Let's see, what have I omitted? I think those are the principal changes in this legislation from current law. Maybe I'll just answer questions at this point.
On your family counseling omission there, that just means that it's one of the four that is not enumerated, but up above it says it shall consider the following conditions and impose one or more. Does that mean that he has the right to be asked for an individual family counseling aside from the defendant or the accused person? Like if a husband is ordered to have personal counseling, and the wife really should have counseling too. You're saying the judge could allow that the wife
certainly
should have counseling.
Absolutely.
Even though this doesn't spell it out, the latter
correct
thing here.
Absolutely.
And do you see that as part of the body of A? There is that where you see the, or is that just a normal thing, Mr. Chairman, as far as judges' ability to
judge's discretion
make a call
to do what the judge feels is appropriate based on the circumstances of the individual family.
Okay. what you're trying to do here then is to keep them all from being under one roof at one time in the same room under the same circumstances because it could flare.
That is correct. That is the testimony that we have received. That's the information which has been provided by people who do the counseling and people who work in domestic violence shelters.
Any other questions for Spotsman?
Yeah, I've heard the bill before. I had another question on the family thing. I understand that. Is there such a thing as family counseling as a definition? Does that necessarily include having both people there at the same time?
Mr. Chairman, that is what I think the common ordinary understanding of the word is. If you're asking, is there some place in the statutes a definition of that term, I don't know of it, and maybe someone else does, but I don't think there is a definition somewhere in statute.
Okay.
I think I brought this up in the House Committee on page 2 of the bill. At the very end of the page, there's a quote, and it says an act, and then violence. Is that a typo, or it doesn't read well to me, following on to page 3?
I'm sorry, what? You're on what line?
The 31, page? The last. The
there's
last
a typo word. There.
Are you on the version 3, 4, 5, 5?
The Hess Committee version.
I have the Hess version.
I think that's something you need to staff.
Okay.
Is there you see what we're talking about?
Yeah,
and it's actually corrected in the... Representative Ulmer has given us a draft CS dated 3/12/91, and I'm looking at it right now.
I was looking at the Hess version.
Do the members have and copies in their packet?
Yes, they do. And it's corrected in
okay.
I don't see mine.
I assume that Representative Ulmer was referring, that she went through this thing for the Hess CS as opposed to the blank CS.
Right.
It's corrected in the blank CS.
Representative Ulmer, did you want to talk about your CS?
Mr. Chairman, the only change in the CS is to move the domestic violence restraining order to a separate section so that violations of it can be identified. So that either for purposes of a judicial officer or a police officer or anyone else, that right now it's merged with other things, it would be possible then to identify that what someone has done is violate a domestic restraining order. It does not change the law. It's for identification purposes.
I plead with me. What CS you talking about? The Hess CS?
There is a proposed CS in your files dated 3/12/91. It would be
it's
a
judiciary.
CS. It would be a proposed judiciary committee substitute.
Okay. It's a blank CS prepared by Representative Ulmer. Representative Martin.
No. How we do a CS?
Mr. Chairman, I'll be happy to sit here during the other testimony.
Please,
if you'd like.
Representative Martin.
Yes, thank you, sir. From the original representative, we had a 72-hour clause here in section 4, and I was concerned about that. Is that out in there?
That has been deleted.
That has been deleted. Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, then we'll go ahead and take some public testimony then. Cindy Smith, if you could state your name for the record being represented.
My name is Cindy Smith. I'm the director of the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. The network is a coalition of 23 nonprofits around the state that serve victims of domestic violence and sexual assault and families. I believe you have received written testimony, so I won't read it to you. But I wanted to point out that most of the provisions in this bill are subjects that have been under discussion by the network and at Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault statewide teleconferences over the past 2 years, almost 3 years now. There have been two separate statewide teleconferences on domestic violence restraining orders. Some of the most common problems that were identified were the ability of teens and women who had never lived with their abusers to who were in a dating relationship to be able to get restraining orders. The frustration of parents and of those victims of being told that because they hadn't lived with someone they weren't able to access the same protections that other people were. We had a lot of testimony from police and from prosecutors asking to have a better ability to prosecute when a restraining order has been violated, so that prosecutors wouldn't have to prove that someone intended to do something, but simply that they knew that there was a restraining order and that they violated it. They felt pretty strongly that that was a big problem for them, and also the police were concerned that when they wanted to check somebody's background, when they were looking at restraining orders, or any other thing having to do with domestic violence, as a matter of fact, they were not able to find out whether or not there had been prior domestic violence-related offenses, because things are currently listed under harassment or under trespass. So when it pulls up as a prior offense, the police don't know and can't tell if this has been an ongoing problem or not. Another problem that came up was a problem of reciprocal restraint. We have, infrequently, but we do have judges that are sort of ordering reciprocal restraint as a matter of course. It has two sort of negative effects. One is that it in effect prevents a victim from being able to report. In other words, what happens is she says, I've got this restraining order, you go away or I'll call the cops. He says, well, I'll just say you broke it. And so it ends up in sort of a catch-22 situation where people feel like there's not really any kind of restraint available. Also, in other states, any time it's been challenged, it's been found unconstitutional. There's language in this bill that takes care of that. But we're real supportive of this bill. We think it makes a lot of changes that are overdue, and that'll really be very helpful, as Representative Ulmer mentioned, also in cases of date rape, where victims may want to be able to get a restraining order, may feel very threatened by the person because they're acquainted with them, and yet don't currently have access to that kind of restraining order capability. So if there are questions, I'd be happy to answer.
What was declared unconstitutional?
In cases where there have been mutual restraining orders issued where, as a matter, without any kind of evidence that the petitioner was also violent. Been a subject of several challenges now in other states, and I can get that information for you, but it's been overturned.
There has to be some evidence to support the order.
Right, exactly.
Sure. Any questions to the witness? Thank you for your testimony. Sherry, go.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Sherry Gall. I'm representing the Alaska Women's Lobby, and the Women's Lobby supports this legislation for many of the reasons that have already been explained to you by the sponsor and by Cindy Smith. I think it's important that we'll no longer, if this bill passes, be a need to prove an intent to harass in order for there to be a restraining order. And in order to prove a violation of a restraining order, that you would have to show that the person intended to harass. Instead, it will just be that they knowingly violated that restraining order. The section that deals with the mutual restraining orders, it seems to us that it is only correct for a judge to order a restraining order on a person who has perpetrated assaultive behavior rather than to the victim of the assaultive behavior. We agree with the expansion of the definition to include date rape and to include outside of a marital relationship or a cohabitative relationship, which is what is currently covered in domestic violence. Other things. We also agree with the Network on Domestic Violence that it is more appropriate that personal counseling be ordered than family counseling, mostly for the reasons of protection of the victim from further violence.
Any questions?
Mr.
Martin?
Yeah, thank you, sir. The last one that sparked me up, I don't have to send it home, but since you brought it up, it's all nice to bring it up now. Why are we distinguishing, we passed some legislation yesterday, emphasizing the professionalism of family counsel, marriage counsel, and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And why shouldn't we somehow have a hope there may be a choice that maybe the people, they are voluntary situation and we act unreasonably, but then when given proper circumstances, we may become lovers again. And I'd hate to see that we're ruling out one and not perhaps encouraging both types of counseling, marriage, family counseling, and or personal counseling.
Sure.
through the chair. Representative Martin, I think that there is nothing that will prohibit a judge from recognizing a need in some cases for family counseling. And marriage and family therapists do also do individual counseling, so it would not preclude them from offering those services. But the idea here is that the person who is going to be ordered by the court into counseling should be the person who has perpetrated the crime, and our hope would be that the personal counseling would include alternatives to aggression types of counseling. Very often in family counseling situations, the family unit is seen as the primary treatment rather than the battering itself. And so in a family counseling situation, the battering itself might become a negotiable item for the family's dysfunction. And we feel that the court, it's more appropriate for the court to order personal counseling for a perpetrator of domestic violence rather than family counseling that might involve the victim. And especially because there have been instances where when people have been ordered into these kinds of sessions, the violence will escalate after the session and the victim will be beaten again.
I would like to perhaps do what with the original intent here, because as we see on page 4, line 31, and then on page 5, line 1 and 2, as I would interpret that, because it's so explicit, I direct the respondent to engage in personal counseling and so on, and then it makes it very clear it excludes or family or meditation. And I'd rather have that. If we want to leave it up to the judge, fine. Leave it what it was, obviously, at one time in there, and not exclude the words.
Ms. Zimmerman, do you wish to comment?
Well, I'm looking at the section on a different page. Because I'm looking at a CS right now. Subsection 7. Subsection 7, is that where you are?
No, 8. Page 4. Hess version now.
So that's one that's one in front of us.
Direct the respondent to engage in personal counseling, etc.
Yes,
that's
right.
The section.
Subsection 7.
Okay.
Right. Section 8.
Okay. My preference is to leave the language as is proposed in the legislation as opposed to amending it for this reason. As was mentioned before, there is nothing that precludes the court from ordering family counseling when appropriate. This is rather with an eye toward showing to the judge the preference of the legislature that we're looking at things which are alternatives to aggression. Because what we're talking about here is an assault.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about violent behavior, usually injury, and what we're trying to do is get the batterer some assistance so that the batterer learns to cope with his frustration in ways other than violently. So that's the emphasis that is being placed. This is why the amendment, and the idea of taking out family counseling or mediation is not to preclude it. I mean, there's nothing that precludes a judge from ordering someone to eat cream cheese if the judge feels as though there's a logical reason for that to be ordered. Similarly, there's nothing to say that if the judge determines that there is some sort of mutually beneficial result that would come from family counseling, he could do that. The emphasis which is being placed in this proposed amendment is on alternatives to aggression, because that's what the body of information that's been presented to me suggests is the most appropriate thing for the judge to do.
Mr. Chairman, I hear what the representative is saying, and she said this is what the legislators feel is the priority or is appropriate. I feel like all three things should be appropriate and at the discretion of the judge, and what are the counsels are there. And so later on, I'd like to make a motion that sentence be continued that said, or family, or mediation.
Mr. Martin, could you state again exactly, because I was working off the wrong bill too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We'll
begin from there where it was deleted. The one bottom of page 4, subsection 7 of section 8. And it goes right on to page 5.
And you'd just like to leave that existing
language? Yes, I would
here.
Like to. I don't mind the new language, but drop the apostrophe and put for family counseling or mediation.
Say the judge has discretion, sure that he has discretion. We don't mind him or her choosing, depending on the situation.
Yeah. Ms. Gold?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I may respond, if I'm not at the table when the amendment is offered, the women's lobby would probably have a very strong objection to the inclusion of mediation, particularly more so than the family counseling even, because it has been our position over the years that mediation for victims of domestic violence is not an appropriate, it's not an appropriate forum, and it should not, judges should not be encouraged to ask victims and perpetrators of violence to be mediated. Victims of violence are often not, mediation is going to require that people be on some kind of an equal basis, and people who find themselves in this situation are very often not on any kind of an equal basis, especially if it's a situation that's been going on for years and years, and people do get into a cycle, and victims have a syndrome of not being able to speak out for themselves and be equal parties to a mediation.
Mr. Chairman, just on that point with regard to mediation, I would like to just read into the record a couple of sentences out of the annual report from the National Council of Juvenile and Family Court Judges. These are judges who work in this field day in and day out, see hundreds, perhaps thousands of cases that involve these kinds of family violence situations, and their recommendations on this point of mediation, I think, is very important. Recommendation number 13, judges should not mandate mediation in cases where family violence has occurred. Because assault of any kind is a serious crime and needs to be treated as such by the courts, mediation of family violence is simply not an appropriate response. Mediation is a process by which the parties voluntarily reach consensual agreement about the issue at hand. Violence, however, is not a subject for compromise. Thus, when the issue before the court is a request for an order of protection or a criminal violence charge, mediation should not be mandated. The victim receives no protection from the court with a mediated agreement not to batter, and a process which involves both parties mediating the issue of violence implies and allows the batterer to believe that the victim is somehow at fault. So, Mr. Chairman, I would join the comments which have been offered already. Deleting mediation, I feel, is absolutely essential. If we are going to leave in family counseling, I would certainly want to modify it and in some way clarify that family counseling would be determined by the court appropriate when it's demonstrated that family counseling will not result in additional violence. So we can discuss that later. I realize there are other people who wish to testify on this point, but there aren't any other people who wish to testify.
I don't have anybody signed up to testify.
Okay.
We do have Barbara Nicholas in the audience to answer questions people have for Representative Martin.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would compromise like they like to compromise. This is wonderful. So that we're saying personal and or family counseling. Mediation may be going too far. Experiences allow us to change our minds.
Well, as long as we're on this subject, maybe it would facilitate things if we have Representative Ulmer's proposed CS. The CS has the identical language to the Hess Committee substitute in that area, so there's no difference between those two. I haven't heard any other objections to the content of the CS. Maybe we can go ahead and adopt the CS and then address specifically that specific amendment. So Representative Parnell has moved to adopt the CS. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, the CS is before us. Now, Representative Martin, if you wanted to propose a particular amendment.
Yes, sir. That would be on page 5, thank you, Mr. Chairman, page 5 now on the top, subsection 7, line 3. So in both cases, when it said directly responded to engage in personal or family counseling, let the judge decide in the circumstances. Then also, on page 4, engage in personal or family counseling.
Madam Chairman, I wonder if you permit Cindy Smith to return to the table for purposes of addressing the specific amendment.
Okay, I just wanted to get this down, Representative Martin, get it accurately here. So it would to make all this just ordinary type rather than have caps anymore, right? And it would
yeah,
say
it wouldn't, that's caps, yeah.
Or personal or family
counseling.
Right. And then also or mediation?
No, Judge, I'm
the delete the mediation. Right. Okay.
That's just, I think the compromise is going to be shot down now.
Okay, so it's or personal or family counseling. Right. And then that shows up someplace else here too, right?
I thought they did, but I didn't move quick enough to see it.
Page 3. Mm-hmm. Line 14.
I missed it the first time.
Page 3. 14. Oh, I see. Before family, have personal in there?
I had it marked them for that.
Okay, I think
we say what they used to have. Yeah.
I think we understand it now, yes, the amendment. So the amendment is before us. Em, did you want to address the amendment?
Yes, please. Again, my name is Cindy Smith, with the Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. I don't think would be very favorable toward the suggested change unless there was some way to indicate, as perhaps Representative Ulmer said, that this could be done with a finding that there would be no immediate danger when people come in for domestic violence restraining order. Something pretty serious has just happened in their lives to make them go to get a restraining order. They have just been beaten. They feel they're in serious danger. What happens is, in the cases where family counseling may be ordered, is that the victim is then told to go back and negotiate with this person who just beat her up. That's not safe. It's not a wise thing to do. This has got nothing to do with 6 months from this point or when things have calmed down or later on. This is something that happens just after a violent incident has occurred. So we do really feel fairly strongly that it's not an appropriate thing to be ordering. Individual counseling for the abusive partner would be appropriate. I find it hard to come up with a case when I think that it would be appropriate to order some couples into joint counseling after there's been an assault. It's not a safe thing to do for that victim. She's not going to be able to talk about what the problems are without being afraid that when she walks out the door, and in fact there's lots of anecdotal and other case evidence that indicates that when they walk out the door, they in fact often are assaulted again. So to have a positive direction to judges to order victims into this circumstance, I think, is inappropriate. I have some information on mandatory counseling that was put out by the National Institute of Justice that suggests the same thing, and I'll make that available to the committee.
Okay. Representative Miller?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a hard decision, and I think if the word "and" was in there, I would agree with your argument wholeheartedly, but it's the word "or." And I believe the court and the judges that are dealing in these cases probably have seen enough of them to know what to order. And I think that they should be given that latitude. There may be one or two cases out there where they should have that latitude. But if we just pull it out, I really don't see where they have the latitude to be able to do that.
Mr. Chairman, my understanding of the way this is worded is that in the very beginning of the section it says the judge may order things including this list. Now that list becomes a primary list that's a checkoff on a form a little bit later down the road for the domestic violence writ itself. The only change being made is that the legislature would be redirecting the first look to not be at family counseling but at individual counseling. There's nothing that prohibits a judge, at least in my understanding of this statute, although it's not specifically listed, from continuing to order it if they believe it's in their best interest. What the network is saying is it's time we stop pointing judges in that direction by putting it as a primary thing to order in the statute.
Representative Martin?
Okay. Yeah,
Representative
Hanley. I wanted to see. Representative Ulmer brought up a point about unless such counseling would further subject the petitioner to additional violence, at which point on a checkoff list, if that's the concern, that it would at that point require him to look at that and say, if at least go through that argument. Is that something that's Mark, Representative Martin, is that acceptable to you? To further qualify, I guess it would read more like or family counseling unless such counseling would subject the petitioner to additional violence.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I haven't asked it presumptive because that this is the whole idea to leave it up to the court and to the judge. And certainly both parties in most cases are being represented. In any cases, it'll probably be the victim that's represented because they have the network behind them. And the aggressor may not be represented, but at least the judge will have that opportunity. Whereas at the state of now, I'm afraid he won't have the opportunity at all. And we just said, well, you're going to go get personal counseling. And maybe it's a number of things. Sometimes I don't get along with my neighbor. Maybe we should have neighborhood counseling. And you know, she understood me, and I understood her better. We'd do better. But he, that's the option, instead of me just seeing my psychologist or something. I'd rather have the discretion here. And I kind of agree with Representative Miller that we do have faith in our courts, we do have faith in our judges, but we can't restrain them too much from what may be natural in his feeling or her feelings. Say, hey, you know, both of you should probably go out counseling. You had the right hit her, you know, that'd be great job. But maybe family counseling would help here.
And that wasn't my point, Mr. Chair. It would still say, or family counseling. It would just, maybe it would be
at the end of the sentence.
Well, yeah, you could have it at the end because the underline actually applies to the personal counseling, so it would read the above, and then below it would say, or family counseling, in some words to the effect that unless such counseling would lead to additional violence against the...
Mr. Chairman, I have a trial balloon here, and if you'll bear with me, I'll try and explain what I'm doing here. If you look at the language, direct the respondent to engage in personal counseling. I would suggest that we consider taking out the word personal at that point. So if we direct the respondent to engage in counseling, and then we have a semicolon, and then we would use the language of the bill. If the court directs the respondent to engage in personal counseling, the court shall provide in that order that the counseling must propose alternatives to aggression if that type of counseling is available. Semicolon. And then would come the new language. If the court directs the parties to participate in family counseling, it must make a finding that the family counseling will not result in additional violence.
Somebody want to propose that as an amendment to the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw my proposal and accept the wording of Representative Homer as a proposed amendment to the committee draft point.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. Representative Homer, do you have that in writing?
She does.
Oh, sure, help me. Okay, so now the amendment to the CS would state, would inject the word family, to be personal or family counseling, wherever appropriate, and also state and add the phrase.
No, Mr. Chairman, on page 5, line 3, she would delete the word personal.
That approach was not
to be. Just say counseling?
Engage in counseling. Okay. And then after that, would be that language.
Okay, so we're just, instead of injecting family, we're taking out the word personal, so it says engage in counseling, and then we're adding this caveat that if the court directs the parties to participate in family counseling, it must make a finding that the family counseling will not result in additional violence.
And Mr. Chairman, that follows the new language, which is in the CS.
Right.
So
it would
be after
line 6.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, is that for both sections on page 3 also, where we have a similar thing? And section 11.
Okay.
So it would be section 4 and in section 8.
And so it go in on page, what was the other page? This is page 5, line 6. And you go on page 3, line.
This is personal would come out again,
right,
and on line 14, and then at the end of line 16 would be the additional language regarding family.
person. Okay.
Okay.
Who's it, Parnell?
Question through the chair to Representative Ullman. On page 5, you have on line 4, it says the respondent, and on page 3, line 15, it says defendant. Did you want those words to be identical, or did you intentionally have them?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that the reason those are different is because in section 4 on page 3, there's already been a determination there's been an adjudication of a criminal case, as opposed to in the other provision we're dealing with, the temporary restraining order, which is not a criminal section. So those words are actually accurate.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Is the motion still up on? I don't believe
the motion to amend the CS is before us. And I think I stated it for the record once.
Right.
I think we understand it. Mm-hmm. Is there any objection to the motion? If there's no objection to the motion, then the CS is amended to reflect the St. Martin's motion amendment. I don't have anybody else signed up to testify on this bill. Is there any further discussion? What's the will of the committee on this legislation?
You moved to reformally have the House Judiciary in front of us amended.
Well, we've adopted the blank CS, and then we amended it with your amendment, mm-hmm. Representative Martin. So is there a motion to move the bill? Okay. Representative Parnell has moved the bill with your recommendations. And any objection? Hearing no objection, motion carries. Thank you,
Representative. Thank you very much.
And with that, I think we'll hold over House Bill 33 and House Bill 129 till tomorrow.
Okay.
And go ahead and adjourn the meeting.
Right.
We've got a full day. Things are going on.
Yeah.